Hi, folks. It is Wednesday, July 1st. You are listening to WVEWLP 107.7 FM Brattleboro Community Radio. You are listening to This Show Is So Gay. I'm Ken.
And I'm Becca.
Happy Gay Pride, Becca.
Thanks.
Apparently it was Gay Pride.
Yeah, I know. I was there.
Completely. Where were you?
At the Pride Dance.
You were at the Pride Dance here in Brattleboro. Yeah. Where was I?
Your PJs at home, slacker.
How was the Pride Dance?
The rest of us were at the Pride Dance at the WVEW fundraiser.
Where was I?
In your pajamas.
Okay. So I kind of just missed everything. So we
angry email to thisshowisogay@aol.com.
We want to wish everyone just the happiest gay pride. And so that's a really good thing. All right, we are going to switch things up a little bit tonight. A few weeks ago, we were talking about how Prop 8 was upheld yet again there in California. And we talked about an initiative out in California to address the proposition in California. And we are very fortunate to have tonight on the air Dr. Reed Levine, one of our California listeners, who is behind organizing completely, he's going to tell us, an effort out in California about Vote No on Everything. Reed, welcome to This Show Is So Gay.
Hi, Ken. How are you?
Great. All right, let's get right into it. Tell us about Vote No on Everything.
Well, the organization is dismayed with the state of the proposition system in general, not specifically related to Proposition 8, but how the proposition system has really done a number of terrible things to the state of California, and what we want people to do is to have a make educated votes, and if not, then to vote no on things across the board as their default.
Now, I know this sounds very basic, but what would being educated about a particular issue mean?
Well, you know, that's up to the individual to decide, and it's a mature thing to say that you do or do not know enough about something to make an intelligent vote about it. But in general, the propositions that are proposed fall into two categories. One is about civil rights, and then the other is about spending taxpayer money. We don't believe that civil rights should be on the ballot to begin with. We don't think the ability to take away people's rights should be up for a popular vote. And we think that we would like to change the law in California so that no proposition would be legal which would by a popular vote, remove people's rights. I don't mind expanding people's rights by a popular vote, because generally that has little harm compared to taking away people's rights. But so that's one thing. And then in regards to financial issues, many of these propositions talk about spending billions of dollars in very complicated manners that are probably too complicated for the average person, myself included, to make much sense of and make a good decision about. We had one proposition which was a $10 billion spending bill to build a high-speed train. And I don't really know enough about trains, even if I read the thing, to determine whether or not $10 billion is a good price for a train. Am I a good deal? Is it a waste of money? All the things that make it good or bad are not the one line that says high-speed train for California, but rather the details of it. And I don't know enough about where it's going to be built, how it's going to be built, who's building it, all the things that you would want an intelligent decision to be made on. I personally don't think it would be possible for the average person to figure out. If you're talking about small issues like should the local library spend $1,000 to buy new books, I think those are very reasonable things for people to make a democratic vote on. They're not complicated to the point that the average person shouldn't be able to understand them. And beyond that, if they make a mistake, you're only talking about $1,000. But when you're talking about billions of dollars, we hire people to make those decisions for us, and those are called politicians. We should let them do this.
So the high-speed trains thing, not part of your med school training?
Not part of med school
okay.
training.
Just checking. No. Just checking.
Yeah.
Right.
So
basically, I would think that it's the voter's challenge to try to learn these things and to be an educated voter or not vote on that particular issue. I mean, I try not to vote on issues that are on the ballot that I don't understand or I don't know anything about because I think it's my right and privilege to research that and then vote accordingly. And if I don't have that information, then I don't vote. So are you saying that most people would fail to abstain when they weren't educated on an issue?
I would say that that is very much the case. The average person votes if they, well, the average person probably doesn't vote, but if they do vote, they vote on propositions, which I don't know, for 24 states have proposition systems. I don't know if Vermont is one of them off the top of my head. But the average voter, if they vote on a vote at all, they'll vote on every proposition, just like people show up and vote on all their local
right.
offices, and you know, they really just know who's running for president. And you know, when you're talking about voting a person into office, that person doesn't come and create and spend taxpayer money immediately. They have to go through the normal channels of politics. But when you vote on a proposition, a very different thing. You're voting to directly spend taxpayer money. You're voting to directly spend to change the law. In California, you're actually changing the Constitution in a way that the legislature and the judiciary and the executive branch have no control over and cannot rescind. The only way to change a proposition in California is by another proposition. So if the voters make a mistake, it's very difficult to undo it, as opposed to if you make a traditional law.
Now, one thing, Doctor, that I ask my students to do, that I will now ask you to do, is what is the chief argument against their stance? So tell us what, and then give you an opportunity to address it.
Yeah.
What has been, now that you started getting some press, and it's really getting the name out there of Vote No on Everything and starting to educate people on being more educated, what has been consistently the chief argument against such an initiative and giving you an opportunity to address it?
I mean, people have two major arguments against my organization's viewpoint. One is people will say, but we live in a democracy, which is, of course, incorrect. We live in a republic. Or they will say a similar sentiment, which is the voice of the people should be respected, or, you know, shouldn't we have a right to on things directly? The answer to that is that we do not live in a democracy. We should live in a constitutional republic, which was purposely designed as such by the founding fathers in order to avoid a lot of the problems with direct democracy. Now we're talking about two separate things. One is civil rights issues, and then the other is spending
right.
taxpayer money. As far as civil rights issues go, no civil right has ever been won by a popular vote. In fact, African-American civil rights required the voice of the people being overturned by what would now be termed activist judges acting to order the National Guard to escort young girls to school against the will of the people. The will of the people is not always the correct thing, either because they're ill-informed or because you know, they don't have the time or ability or desire to become informed about that. I really don't think it would be very easy for most people, myself included, to learn enough about, for instance, how to build a train properly and what the other options are to make an intelligent decision about that high-speed train. Do I like the idea of having a high-speed train? Yes. Do I know that the one which was proposed in the manner in which it was proposed in California in the last presidential election was well-designed and thought out and the best possible option? I have no idea.
I feel like you're not a model train collector.
I am not.
All
I
right.
really just don't know much about trains.
All right, so there's we got to educate ourselves on the trains.
Absolutely, and on
that's
propositions.
Just one issue, yeah, certainly.
Yeah.
But keep in mind that each state has different manners in which their proposition system is. Each state that has a proposition system has a different manner in which
right.
they institute the proposition system. California made bad choices at every one of those choice points. So we have one of the worst systems, and as a result, our state is somewhat bankrupt, as you may be hearing, and our citizens have fewer, or at least our gay and lesbian citizens now have fewer civil rights than a lot of our East Coast friends, despite California's reputation for being very liberal.
So I say you move back to the East Coast. Isn't that really the solution?
Well, it's hard for me to do it at this point. The weather's too nice here.
Oh, don't even start us on that. All right, so tell folks where they need to go. We need to learn more about Vote No on Everything. Where do we go?
So you would go to votenoonEverything.org.
Okay.
.org, not .com.
Okay.
And you can find us on Facebook. We have a page there. And also on Cafe Press. We have T-shirts and buttons and mugs. If you wanted to own one of those, you can certainly
awesome.
Get one. And you can find us also recently in Time Magazine and Huffington Post.
Pretty good stuff.
Awesome.
Pretty good stuff. Well, we wish you all the best of the initiative. We're thrilled to have you on to explain things that I will say I perhaps did a really poor job of explaining a few weeks ago. So you fleshed it out for us, and we are most appreciative.
Well, thank you so much.
All the best,
thank
Dr.
You.
Levine.
Yep, have a good day.
Talk to you later.
You too. Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Those walls I built, well, baby, they're tumbling down, and they didn't even put up a fight, they didn't even make a sound. I found a way to let you in, but I never really had a doubt. Standing in the light of your halo, I got my angel now. It's like I've been awakened, every rule I had you breaking. I can feel you.
back.
And we're back. That was Miss Beyonce singing Halo. I think it's time to welcome yet another guest. Guest, are you there?
I am here.
Awesome. Hello. Let's introduce you.
Not just another guest.
As in our second guest of the night. But this is our signature celebrity guest.
Act.
Yes.
I'm the headliner?
You're the headliner. Right.
Well, that's good to know.
No, you are the headliner. So, Paul...
Who was my opening act?
Really, that's not the point of the story, Paul. It's really more to focus that you are the headliner.
All right, I'll take that.
Okay. Paul Case is just everywhere. He's been the co-host of Here TV's Bent, a co-producer of The Backroom. He's been on MTV, NBC, The Discovery Channel. He's been on Hot Gay Comics Live. He's very, very funny. He's appearing tonight from a children's section in the Barnes & Noble. Paul Case, welcome to this show with So Gay.
Thank you very much, and I'm happy to be here with you guys.
Happy Pride.
Happy Pride to you, too. And, you know, that's the first time I said it, because I refused to say it all weekend.
Oh.
Really? Well, happy Pride.
Well, happy Pride to you, too. That'll be my second.
We got to say it twice. One for each of us.
What did you do, and tell us why you wouldn't say it to people?
Well, I think, and this is totally going to be, and it's not a soapbox, but I...
Go for it.
When I think about it, I'm like, I think Pride should be a little bit more political than a circuit party. So I'm not so proud of sweaty people that are, you know, fiending for a water bottle and grinding their teeth. I'm not really proud of that, but I'm proud of what goes with it. So.
Or as I like to call it, my 20s. But yes, go ahead.
So that's why I didn't say it all weekend. But I did go out and I did celebrate, as it seems everyone in New York did.
Did you have fun?
I did. It was kind of quiet. I went to brunch, which is probably the gayest thing you can do.
Absolutely.
I spent the day on the rooftop at the Gansevoort Hotel, and then I went to the Soho House for a little while.
All right, Becca, I'm not going to be drawn into the whole reliving my New York City experience, no. So we're going to move on. Paul, we are counting on you tonight to provide some pop culture perspective for us.
Oh, good.
Or for Ken.
Or just for me. All right, so let's first talk about a little bit of death. So we had two big deaths last week. We had Michael Jackson. We had Farrah Fawcett.
We did.
Both.
What about Billy Mays?
Oh, and Billy Mays.
There were three. See,
and Ed McMahon. No, there were a lot of people. But
Ed McMahon died?
Yes, but...
Have I been?
I don't know.
Two.
Who died too?
A Pina choreographer, I think.
Yes, Pina Bausch died as well. But I would say Michael Jackson and Farrah Fawcett, probably on the gayometer, which I'm now inventing, were two of the highest deaths. Okay, that's
right.
Weird to rank them like that. Thoughts on Michael Jackson and Farrah Fawcett?
Okay. I think... Farrah had about 3 hours of the coverage, which I found a little sad.
Yeah.
Because how many hairdos did she inspire? And, let's be real, Michael Jackson didn't inspire any hairdo.
No, none. Well, there was the time that his hair caught on fire, though, during that commercial, and that was pretty inspiring.
Well, and he had a big bald spot because of that, is what I've been reading, and that's hence the wigs. I mean, he maybe inspired some of Liz Taylor's later do, so that's something, at least. But, I don't know. I think it's weird. I think it's weird when you think about somebody that you've, not so much Farrah Fawcett because I'm a little bit than the generation of Farrah,
right.
But I remember growing up with Michael Jackson, and I think it's weird when those people just aren't there anymore.
Very weird.
I mean, imagine if it had been Madonna, though.
Oh, my gosh. I didn't even know that Madonna had a statement on it, but I just read it today, and she was pretty...
She couldn't stop crying,
yeah.
Apparently.
It's very sad. Very sad. All right.
She says, listen, if that would have been the case, if it would have been her, I would have canceled calling you guys tonight. It would have been too much for me.
Don't you feel like you would have called us, though, because it would have been your outlet?
It could have been, and I could have maybe capitalized on it a bit.
Can we pre-schedule you, pre-book you
for a long
time from now?
Yes. 30 years.
For the day Madonna dies.
You are our guest.
I'll do it.
We're going to have emergency 24-hour coverage.
Oh, yes. That would be
good. That night, too.
And I have to say, what's so sad about it is that from my 2 years in working at the Barnes & Noble on Astor Place, I know that phone ring that I just heard in the background.
I'm actually at the one in Union Square, though.
But it's all the same. It's all the same.
You know, they're all owned by a cult, so.
Oh.
Think about me standing in the middle of the children's section next to the toddler activity book talking about gay pop culture.
Love it.
Is this what you're doing?
Yes, that's fantastic.
Where I am right now. I've come from dinner, and I thought I could either... stay in the park where it's loud and near the hospital, or I could be here where it's quiet, and I figured there would be no kids around, but there's a lot of phones ringing.
We like the imagery. We like the imagery. All right, we got to move on. We're moving on.
Okay.
Moving on to our best friend, Perez Hilton. Now, it's good. Just checking in.
While we talk about this, you can go and find, who was it who had two mothers? You can read from that.
Heather, didn't
Heather,
you?
Yes, Heather. Heather. Thank you.
But to update folks on what we talked about last week, Perez Hilton has now apologized. This is our update to
didn't
last week's
story.
Did
he swear last week that he would never, ever
he
apologize?
He swore he would never apologize, but now he said, I am sorry. And then he said, and I mean it, no one is forcing me to write this. And then in my favorite sentence of the week, I'm not feeling pressured to say this. I'm speaking out because I realize that the last few days have been more hurtful to me than the repeated blows I suffered to my head, which I thought was a brilliant quote. So one of the funniest things about Perez Hilton this week has been the proliferation of Facebook groups. And as we all know, that's where reality is on Facebook, of Perez Hilton does not represent me. As a gay person.
Like
me neither.
Paul Case, does Perez Hilton represent you?
Not one bit.
What's the deal?
Well, I'll say this. I like the pop culture commentary, and I like the snarky bitchiness that comes with it. But I think one of the things that I read that he said was, you know, I dish it out, I can take it. And I think, obviously, you can't, because this is what happens. And people sue you, and then you write bad things about them, even worse. And then you get punched in the face for using a word that you really shouldn't have used.
Exactly. So how do we get him to shut up?
You hire Michael Jackson's doctor.
Oh my god! That's one way to do it.
Tell them that he has severe insomnia and he needs some Demerol stat.
I swear he had a light pulse when we called. There you go. Going to hell for that.
Yes, moving on.
Yes, I'm just going to move on from that. So apparently, as I was reading, there's this Adam Lambert guy. Who's gay.
Right.
Are you an American Idol watcher?
I'm not. A few of my friends are, though, so they fill me in on these things. But this is the kid that they call Glambert, right?
Yes. Now, Ant, when Ant, the comic, was on a few weeks ago, he made fun of me for never having watched this because he was obsessed with it. But okay. Gene Simmons from Kiss said the other day that Adam Lambert's decision to come out will kill his career. And this was his quote. He killed his career because now the conversation is not about his talent, but about his sexual preference. He's done. And I was looking at that story, and right above that story was one about Michael Urie from Ugly Betty.
Ugly Betty.
I've never seen that show either.
Okay.
Have you?
I haven't seen it in ages.
Okay.
I haven't seen it since, like, the first season.
So he's in some show, I think, off-Broadway. Yep, he's in a show off-Broadway. And the reporter asked him, it's almost impossible, given your role in this, not to ask you about your sexuality. And Michael Urie essentially just goes off and goes off and says, no, I refuse to answer those questions. I'm not coming out as gay. He said, that's not really the point. By using publicity to say something like that, it could become a person's MO, and I'm not interested in that. Now, as an out gay comic, I'm not outing you on our show, am I, Paul?
No.
Okay, good.
I mean, no, you're okay.
Because he could switch and make it about him right then.
Because I'll edit that out for the podcast. But as an out gay comic, and you hear about, okay, so this person came out and people are saying his career's done, and this person who's so obviously gay refuses to come out because it would kill his career. How do you take that in and process it?
I don't know. I look at people like Adam Lambert, and I think, what career is there to kill? There was nothing there before, really.
Right.
So, if anything, you've gotten publicity that you can capitalize on, and, you know, your career's going to be just fine, probably.
Hey, look, in our inbox, we've already received the cease and desist order.
Oh, good.
Yay! That's what we shoot for. That's our good barometer.
That was fast. They're right on that.
And then people, I think, like Michael Urie, who, you know, they're capitalizing on this character that made them famous. So it's okay. Maybe he's not gay, but I think it's kind of, it's 2009. I mean, I think it's just a little bit foolish at this point in the game, and to portray a character like that and say, oh, I'm an actor and that's what I'm doing is one thing. But when you see people outside of their lives and they're the exact same way, it's kind of like, come on, no one's that really that stupid.
Right. So
I think it just looks bad anyway.
I think it looks terrible. When we were talking to the lovely and talented, who I think you know, Anne Nezipor.
I know Anne very well.
We love her. We love her.
We do.
Great.
She told some great stories just about the adversity that she's faced just being out on auditions and not being who they're looking for. Have you experienced that with regard to sexual orientation, with regard to just being an out performer?
Well, you know, I never really publicly came out. It just kind of always was that way. But I remember when I was in college, one of my acting teachers told me, you realize you're never going to be a leading man. And I said,
oh.
Why not? Like, in this really gay voice, why not? And she was like, you just don't have that. You're going to play, like, the neighbor or the best friend. And I was really offended by it. And then the more I thought about it, I was like, okay, basically she's telling me I'm going to play the gay roles. But she was right. I kind of took that advice and I used it. And I used that to pick what I couldn't go on auditions for. Like, I didn't waste my time going to play, like, a Tom Selleck role because I knew that was never going to happen. So for me, it was helpful, I think, acknowledging and realizing. And I thought, I'm not going to be convincing in that anyway, so let's just go what I know I can do.
See, now I'm all picturing you with the Tom Selleck mustache.
Oh, could you imagine? I can't even grow a real mustache.
Have we tried? Have we tried that?
We have, but I tend to look, homeless. Or like,
can we have pictures?
I forgot.
That's a part
we're
that you could go for.
We're going to change the picture on our website to the one of you with the mustache.
The gay homeless part.
Well, I have blonde hair, so it kind of gets like a little hint of red in it, and it's not okay to me.
Okay. All right.
It looks a little dirty, pretty much.
That's a niche. It's a niche market, I think. So what are you working on these days? Where do we find you? Where do people go to see you? What's going on?
All right. Well, I have my show that I do in New York at Comics every Friday called The Backroom.
Awesome.
It's at Comics in this little nook next to the bathroom called Ochi's Lounge, and it's free, and it's every Friday at 9 o'clock.
Now, where is that in New York City?
It's at 353 West 14th Street, on the corner of 9th Avenue. It's near the Apple Store.
Oh, I know exactly where that is. Fantastic.
But you can also check me out. I filmed a web series that is called Brooklyn is for Lovers, and you can find it at www.bi4l.tv. And it's not all gay, but my character is a huge, huge gay, and it's not safe for work, so keep that in mind. But it's a really fun project and something that I really a lot of fun working on, and hopefully it's going to go into another season, so you can see that, and that's free also. So
right.
I'm clearly making a lot of money on this. Stuff.
Well, it strikes me just in
hey,
kind
all
of,
the best stuff is free.
That's what we say, like our show.
That's right.
It strikes me just kind of in searching around that it seems to the outsider that there's this really tight knit gay comic community there in New York City.
There is. It's like, you know, when I first moved here, and I would go on like auditions for Chicago or some bull. Stupid show that I was never going to get in anyway. I noticed these people, I always call them audition people, that get there and they're warming up and it's always like, so what are you working on? And it's everyone's trying to outdo everybody. Oh, I just got this role in this non-equity tour in Omaha. I'm like, no one cares. I think, and it's like, it's so cutting down and it's so like trying to one-up everybody. I think in the comedian world here, it's really, really supportive. No one's, I mean, we're all so different that we're not really vying for the same parts,
right.
The same roles, and most of my good friends have become, or most of my comedian friends have become good friends, I should say. And, you know, I don't feel any animosity or any competition really toward them, which I think is really rare, and I think it's a really good thing.
That's fantastic.
It's a good group. It's a good group.
That's a good thing.
That's a really good
absolutely.
Thing.
The radio hosts here in Brattleboro, Vermont, we'll cut you.
Listen, I dated someone from Brattleboro.
Come on.
I did.
Is he still here?
No, he lives in the city. He's a doctor.
See, it makes me long to get back.
Gay, so I can't tell you his name.
That's okay. That's okay.
He loved it.
Yeah, no, it's interesting.
I've never been. I'm going camping in Vermont at the end of August, so I'll have to stop in.
Oh, you must
stop in.
Not to celebrate anyone's death, just to stop in and say hello.
You know, why not? I've actually never been to New England, so it'll be good for me. I'm going to Brookline, Massachusetts to go ziplining, and then I'm doing some camping in Vermont, so it should
great.
Be good.
Yes. I had never been here either before I moved here from New York City, so no, it's a fun little transition. All right, we got to get to our favorite part of the show. This is our favorite part of the show. This is where we ask you, our guest,
to brace yourself,
maybe find a comfortable Barnes and Chernobyl chair there, and we are asking you to psychoanalyze Paul Case based on the brilliant, I must say, and please know that I do not say that to every guest, song selections that you have provided us. So we are going to put your song selections out there. You are going to tell our listening audience what these songs say about Paul Case.
Oh, God.
Are you ready?
Do you remember what you
submitted
to us?
No, I'm
going to
remind him. It's fine.
No, I know, but I'm just wondering.
Well, we're going to...
In this moment.
This is good stuff. Good stuff. All right, let's start out easy with the song we just played you in, Beyoncé's Halo. What does that say about Paul Case?
So you started with the sad one.
Well, yes.
That's point number one. I chose that song actually because I really, really like the video, just because, and this is so sappy, I love the way that that man looks at her when she's doing her dance rehearsal. Oh. And all I can think of is, like, I wish I was a dancer and someone would stare at me like that.
Oh. We like that. That was a good story, Paul.
Well, it tells you my needy side.
I'm going to go make a call and get someone over to the Barnes & Noble at Union Square and get them to stare at you like that.
Really? Can it be hot and black like that, too?
Listen, Paul, you're asking a bit much. Right now, I'm just trying to get you the look.
I'm just seeing what I can get. Like,
let's not push it. I'm just trying to get you the crazed look. Let's just be satisfied with that. All right, so that was Beyoncé's Halo. Well, now this is a funny transition to Kelly Clarkson's I Do Not Hook Up.
That's the story of my life. I'm not 20 anymore, so you need to have money and you need to have a job, so I'm not just going to hook up anymore.
Okay. Oh, we're building a whole profile
okay,
with this.
Okay, yeah.
This is good. We are building the profile of
like
crazed look, money.
Okay. Plus, I also like that every video she has, she ends up in a girl band. Like with a lot of lighting and a rocking microphone.
Do you want to join a girl band with her?
Oh.
You just want to frontline it, you know?
I just want to be the lead singer, though. Yeah. I'll play the tambourine while I'm the lead singer.
That's so Partridge Family. That's awesome. There you go.
Well, those girl bands are so estrogeny. They could use a guy.
They could use a guy.
With
all
the rock and mic.
Girl lead singer and have all boys or all girls as the backup band.
Nice.
Like a reverse. Yeah.
That would be cool.
That's my dream too.
That's like a Robert Palmer video. I'm like all in 80s mode right now.
Irresistible is what it is.
There you go. All right. So now the woman who we know is not going to pass away for at least 30 years. Madonna's, the whole Madonna collection, and Paul Case chooses Beat Goes On.
Were you impressed?
I was pretty impressed. It's on my workout mix. It's one of my favorites.
That's why I picked it, because I like to run to it a lot, and it's one of the only songs that I can put on repeat about 30 times and actually feel like I've accomplished something.
That's a good one.
I like all... Madonna's my favorite, obviously, but everybody dogs like the American Life album, which I think is genius, but I thought this album was so different, and I thought every song was kind of, even though everyone said they weren't, I thought they were all really unique, and I like that one a lot because you can run to it and you can hit every market. You know, the woman's a genius, and she taps into a whole new market with that, putting Kanye West in it. I mean, it's brilliant.
That's and then, to finish out, one of my favorite songs of all time. Oh, by the way, Becca, you should know, Paul Case, the first of our 40 guests. And by the way, Paul, you're guest number 40, so it's a nice round number.
Good.
The first of our 40 guests where I had all four songs on my iPod.
Ooh, good.
I did not have to download anything new, so it made me feel really good. And I feel like I have $4 now that I didn't have before. One of my favorite songs of all time, Stevie Nicks' is Stand Back.
I mean, well, that goes back to the whole girl band with the lead singer and the guitar. Or, I mean, the tambourine. Stevie Nicks has been in my head a lot for, like, the past month. And I'm trying to rediscover some of the old stuff because I tend to listen to Silver Springs on repeat. And want to take a bath with a hairdryer.
Is this for you, Daddy? Yeah, no, it's a good one.
I mean, stop it. but Stand Back, I think, I'm trying to write my own show right now. I've been doing it for 7 years, and I want to kind of make it like a Sandra Bernhardt-esque performance with a little bit of music and
right.
a band in it, actually, where it can have the girl band. But I've been having so many problems picking songs, I thought, maybe I'm just going to set the whole thing to the music of Stevie Nicks, and I thought, what a better way to open the show than Stand Back.
It's so good. Nice. Or she'll cast a spell on you if you don't stand back.
Well, and remember in that video, too, where she's walking on the escalator with the hair going back? Come on.
Oh. All right. I think we've established the dating profile for Paul Case. It's not what we set out to do. Hey, if we can help, we're here to help, Paul.
Well, then when I come to Vermont, I'll take you two to dinner.
There you go. We're going to make you deliver on that one. So where should people go online to learn more about you?
You can go to my website, which is www.paulcase.com. You can go to search me on Facebook if you want, because I'm always updating everything.
You're very good about the Facebook.
I love the status updates.
You're very good about the Facebook.
Well, good. I'm glad. I get a lot of comments about that. People like my updates. So.
Yeah, no, they're fun.
If I can help, I'm happy to do that. So you can check me out there. You can, I mean, you know what? Google me. You can IMDb me, too, and I'm cross-referenced with the Paul Case, who's dead already.
Oh. What did he do?
He did a movie, I think it was in 1967, called Caged Heart, which I've never heard of, and I wasn't even alive then. So I'm happy to add that to my resume if it's going to get me a new job.
I am... I am now going to buy you that movie just so you can do a little research on this part that you were saying that you were in.
Why didn't I think of that? I mean, I should have done it.
That is our gift to you. We are getting you the DVD of, what is it, Caged?
Caged Hearts.
Caged
Hearts. Like porno, kind of.
Well, hey, all the better.
It'd be better, yeah.
All the better. Paul Case, it is an absolute pleasure to have you on our show. You have provided us with the pop culture perspective that we so sorely needed for tonight.
Well, good.
So, everybody, get out there, go to paulcase.com, Google him, check out his Facebook status. It's a pleasure having you on. We're going to get to see you live, and then you're going to come up here and see us live.
I'm excited for it. Thanks for having me, guys.
Fantastic. All the best, Paul.
Thank you. You guys, too.
Bye.
See you soon.
Bye.
all of these guests. We got to talk about news. We haven't really talked about that much news.
We kind of forgot what kind of show we are. We're a news show, according to iTunes.
Hey, that's accurate.
And iTunes must be right.
iTunes has to be right. All right, so we got a lot to talk about, a lot of news this week. Good poll out there. One of our favorite questions that we ask all the time. Let's fly through it really quick. Hey, Becca.
Hey, Ken.
Do you think that the LGBT rights movement would benefit from a single agreed-upon leader? Your three possible answers are yes, no, or no opinion.
Like an emperor?
A gay emperor.
The Grand High Poobah. I don't know. I mean, some leadership would probably be good, yes, but like an emperor? No, not particularly. Because no one's going to agree. Are you kidding me?
You're in the majority. No.
I know, because I peeked earlier at your laptop.
You're a cheater.
I am a cheater.
64% said no, 32% said yes, and the rest had no opinion. So that was an interesting poll out there on one of our favorite topics. Something for you to consider when you are out and about talking with your friends. All right. Becca and I now, in a new portion of our show that will probably only happen tonight, are going to recreate for you a press conference or a speech that was given this week. I will be playing the part of President Barack Obama.
Okay, I have to pay attention for this, so our wonderful listener, Amelie, has to stop talking about chocolate cake.
Now, Becca will be playing the part of the gay audience who applauds and cheers.
So yay!
When I point at you, this is it. So this was President Obama at the big LGBT fundraiser this week. And finally, I want to say a word about Don't Ask, Don't Tell. As I said before, I'll say it again, I believe Don't Ask, Don't Tell doesn't contribute to our national security.
Yay!
In fact, I believe preventing patriotic Americans from serving their country weakens our national security.
Wait, what? Oh, yay!
Now, my administration is already working with the Pentagon and members of the House and the Senate on how we'll go about ending this policy, which will require an act of Congress. No. We don't applaud for that. There were crickets during that. Someday, I'm confident, we'll look back at this transition and ask why it generated such angst or angst. But as Commander-in-Chief, in a time of war, I do have a responsibility to see that this change is administered in a practical way. Blah, 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 blah.
Ooh.
Well, there weren't boos, but there certainly...
Oh, there were. They just turned the mics down.
I'm telling you. The boos were most certainly heard online. So... that was President Obama giving a speech this week at a big LGBT event, and it was not all that satisfying to members of the gay community. In one of my favorite comments on one of the webpages that featured this, so the person wrote, if, when, at the end of my administration, will, shortly, blah, 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 what about now? Because that was all throughout his speech, was if, when, all the different stuff. So it was there was another poll out there.
Well, isn't that a bit snarky?
I support snarkiness. Becca, what do you think of Obama's speech last night at the LGBT White House reception? Here are your three choices. I'm optimistic, though it's going slowly. Progress is being made. We just have to be patient. Option two is annoyed. He's just giving more empty promises. Or option three, always my favorite, not sure.
Can I go with not sure this time?
Yes.
Since it's your favorite? Yes. I feel swayed.
No, a lot of people... actually, that's really interesting, because when we talk about these polls every week, the not sure or the no opinions...
You know what? The truth is, though, I didn't actually watch.
That's okay. Listen. I didn't either. I just watched it online. But usually when we do these polls, folks in the not sure, no opinions are around 2% or usually less than that. And it's fairly significant that 11% of folks are not sure. And I think that that's indicative of something much larger. People are not sure what to do with this, because you read his words and he's certainly out there making these speeches to the gay community. So you can't say he's not talking about the issues. He's talking about them, but I know people are frustrated he's not doing enough. And let me just say,
I think we need to go back and look at some quotes and statistics from right before the election.
Yeah.
And see, maybe for next week I'll look into that and see how opinion has changed.
Yeah, well, I will say, so for this poll, 54%, the plurality, also the majority, were annoyed he's just giving more empty promises, and 35% said, I'm optimistic, though it's going slowly, progress is being made. Now, this was all the same week that Dan Choi, who is a New York National Guard first lieutenant, was given the fate Barack Obama told him he should expect. It's time to go. a four-member Army board yesterday heard his Don't Ask, Don't Tell case, and they concluded that he should be discharged. And so he was on one of the talk shows today I was watching online, and he said that President Obama's words were just a slap in the face, that they were just – you're just not doing anything. And many people are saying that whereas President Obama says that it would require an act of Congress, people who are well-versed in law are saying, no, it actually doesn't require an act of Congress. This is something that you can do, and people should listen.
Or at least put a stop to.
Exactly.
Stop the bleeding now.
Folks should check out last week's show with Dr. Nathaniel Frank, and he talks extensively about that. So that's all about Don't Ask, Don't Tell. Then I saw an interesting headline. The headline was, Obama White House not appealing transgender ruling. So this was the story. The Obama administration is not fighting a nearly $500,000 judgment for a Library of Congress hiree who lost the job while undergoing a gender change from man to woman. They let the appeal pass the Justice Department. And the story is Diane Schroer, a retired Army Special Forces commander from Alexandria, Virginia, had been offered a job at the Library of Congress when he was a man. The job was rescinded the day after. He told library official that she was going to have an operation to become a woman. Now, I thought what was interesting about this story was she said she saw the administration's decision to not appeal as a recognition that transgender discrimination must end and, quote, gives me renewed hope and restores some of my shaken faith in what our country stands for. I just thought it was a little bit weird that the decision not to appeal something is some of the biggest action that the Obama administration has taken. That seems slightly passive to me. Are you inspired by their decision not to appeal something?
Yay.
We're not doing that game anymore.
I liked that game. It was fun. Woke me up.
But
it's late at night here.
It is late at night. It's late at night. The weather
has been later than it is in New York.
It is. It is?
No, it's not.
Like what?
He sounded so awake and at a bookstore.
He was, and that bookstore stays open, so that's good. Maybe he'll call us back from there. But in the most exciting news story for me of the week, and now this is going to be more indicative.
I'm like running through the options.
Oh,
in my head.
Oh my God, you're not even going to get it. In the most exciting,
did Miss California do something else?
Nothing with Miss California. I'm telling you, this is more exciting to me than any other story out there. And hey, don't look at my computer screen. I will tell you. X Factor.
He hides everything from me.
Well, hey, then I would be the governor of South Carolina.
Oh.
Is that the right state? I don't even think I got that
right. Go ahead.
I hope I got that right. So, in the most exciting story and the most indicative of who I am as a person, X Factor, Becca, one of Marvel Comics' most critically acclaimed series, included a same-sex kiss between characters Richter and Shatterstar in their latest issue. This is one of the first same-sex kisses featured in a mainstream comic. Previous issues of X Factor hinted at a relationship between the two, but their sexuality remained ambiguous until now. It was in X Factor. There were two of the characters. They kissed each other.
Two of our listeners are still talking about chocolate cake.
Why are people not excited about this? This is Richter. He can make the seismic waves go from his hand. I'm doing the motion that he does right now.
Amelie and Sarah are talking about chocolate cake.
And Shatterstar, who wields this two-blade thing, and they kissed each other. And they kissed each other in front of Guido, who's another character, who said something like, oh, I totally didn't see that coming. This is a very exciting story. I would ask that our listeners not interpret Becca's silence as if to indicate the importance of this story. I feel that she is so shell-shocked by the fact that these two characters kissed that she's not able to form a response.
We're breaking into the comic book world now.
Doesn't this remind you of Chasing Amy? I remember hating that movie, but not much more than hating it. I don't remember plot points. Did you do comic books growing up?
We were at like the comic books. I'm from that part of New Jersey. I guess I'm tainted by that. But anyway, what?
What? No,
no.
It's
did
not.
I grow up with comic books?
Oh, you're tainted by Chasing Amy.
Yeah.
Not by comic books.
Well, no.
You didn't grow up reading comic books?
You mean graphic novels?
No, I actually mean comic books. See, I never read graphic novels. I loved comic books. They were.
Why do you always make me sound like I don't know anything about pop culture?
I don't.
Television or radio or comedians or music or now comic books? Now I need to know everything there is about comic books.
I want to get some emails from our listeners, please, over to thisshowissogay@aol.com. I want to hear about people's comic book experiences. I firmly believe that, first of all, comic books are escapism, and for a lot of gay listeners and straight listeners alike, and they're pretty, who needed that escapism in growing up, I think a lot of people, like myself, very much turned to comic books.
I like that when they do something really exciting, there's always like a bam, an explosion, or a pow.
See?
That's all I know about
carry
comic
on
books.
This conversation. Hey, we have a really exciting announcement for folks that we would like to tell you about that we hinted at last week, and now we are a little bit more prepared to talk about it. On October 10th, 2009, that's 10-10-09, This Show Is So Gay.
We should wait a year.
Oh, for 10-10-10? Well, we might do it again if this is successful. Right. This Show Is So Gay with Ken and Becca will be hosting an event called Notes for Life. And Notes for Life is going to be a huge, sold-out benefit concert at the Latches Theater here in Brattleboro, Vermont. And it's going to be huge. All of the proceeds for the event will be going to the AIDS Project of Southern Vermont and the San Francisco AIDS Foundation. So we're really happy about that. And we can announce two of the artists tonight.
Can we?
We can announce two of the artists tonight. That's very exciting. So
not some of the other ones.
No, we're not yet. We're prepared to talk about the third artist. We're saving that for next week. But two of the artists, Samira Evans and her band. And Samira is just an amazing jazz R&B singer. She's funky. She's Samira. She's going to be amazing with the band. And then we are also excited to announce that Kate Pizzakis. And many of our listeners I know Kate Pizzakis. Kate Pizzakis is just a legendary New York City cabaret Broadway diva. Will be coming up to Brattleboro to do a set with pianist extraordinaire Brian Nash. And they will be part of Notes for Life. So we will be announcing in a few weeks how you can get your tickets to Notes for Life. We really hope that folks join us. If you can hear our podcast, that means that you can travel and come to Notes for Life. So it's going to be affordable and we want to sell out. So we hope that folks can make it. It's going to be a grand old time. And wait till you hear about the third artist that we cannot tell you about just
yet. And I've promised something, quote unquote, something special to any of our listeners who travel more than 100 miles to get there.
There you go. Something special for them. So drop us an email. We had a great set of emails this week over at thisshowissogay@aol.com. Go over to our website, which is thisshowissogay.com. Click on podcast. Click on the iTunes link so you can subscribe. Check out our upcoming guests. Huge show next week with Brian Batt, who is on the show Mad Men, which I started watching a few weeks ago so that I could check out the show, and now I'm completely, completely addicted to the show. The amount of cigarettes that they smoke on the show is crazy. So we're going to talk to him about cigarettes and being on Broadway and being on this show. So that's very exciting. And then 2 weeks after that, in 2 weeks from tonight, we will have Tyler Engel, who is a soloist with the New York City Ballet. So that's pretty huge, too. So all good things coming up. We wish everybody a happy Pride. Any shout-outs there for the people on our Instant Messenger?
Just Amelie and Sarah and Michael and Andrew, of course.
I, my friend, got into a little bit of trouble last week. We were criticized by more than a few listeners because we were not enthusiastic in our sign off to the show. They said we were our signature two words, we were a little blah.
Flat.
We were a little flat. I actually think one of them said, was it you? Did you say we were flat? Because someone sent us an email and said, a little flat with the sign up. So what we will say is a happy Pride. Everybody get out there, do amazing things. And when you are out there, when you are out and about, remember, why be gay when you can be so gay?
There's a cure.